Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair in the Gene Vosh Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon. I'm broadcasting live, of course, from the Gene Vosh Studio and from the captain's chair on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the frequency modulated band, and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. There's our little housekeeping, and I'm going to preface my broadcast today before I get into it to tell all hands, all of Captain Joe's people, that once again I will have to take every few minutes a break and have a sip of warm coffee to help me keep the voice working as we spend our half hour together today, and for which you do me great honor by continuing to tune in every week, Tuesday. And if you're not able to listen to me live, of course, you can stream later on in the day from the archive. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people in the Great Lakes. I make it no secret that my time in the Great Lakes, both as the captain in the icebreaker Northwind, where I spent an entire winter breaking ice for the iron ore fleet, and then the following summer, I became the commander of Coast Guard people in most of Lake Superior and a good part of Lake Huron and Lake Michigan. And the experiences that I had, the people that I met, the seamanship that I had to employ, all of those things and many more go together to make my Great Lakes experience, the people that I knew then and know now, and all of the good things that happened with my incredible crews in both commands just all go together to make me think especially about that. And a little bit farther on in the program, I'm going to talk a little bit more about a connection between Great Lakes and steamships and Polar Star. The binnacle list today does indeed come with it the crossing of the bar of the 9th Master Chief of the Coast Guard. Master Chief Welsh was number 9 in that sequence. I knew the first Master Chief of the Coast Guard, Charlie Calhoun, and I had his son Mike in my command twice. Once as a seaman, not a most promising seaman at that, in Vietnam. And then later on, he was Master Chief Bosun's mate himself and was chief of the boat in Katmai Bay. And Katmai Bay was the first of the Bay-class icebreaking tugs that came to me under the command of Dick White, who had been my ops boss in Northwind in the Antarctic. You can see how all of us, especially those of us who are ice people, are connected and interconnected and woven and interwoven, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as well. For Master Chief Welsh, it is my hope and my wish and would be my command that his crossing of the bar was an easy and welcoming one. I've also known a number of other of the Master Chiefs of the Coast Guard. I've always liked that idea. I've always liked the idea that there were created 3 levels of Chief Petty Officers, Chief, Senior Chief, and Master Chief. And that in that creation, at about the same time, I think, or maybe a little bit later, the idea was formed up that there would be a senior enlisted advisor to the head of the service, whichever service it was. For us, it is the Master Chief of the Coast Guard. Master Chief Vince Patton, whose number, I'm not sure whether he was just before Chief Welch. I think maybe he was. But in any case, Master Chief Vince Patton has been a friend and colleague for many, many years. And I own a challenge coin from the most recent and recently retired Master Chief of the Coast Guard. I must now, at this point, take a few minutes to talk about my own situation. One friend of many, many years, and who is frequently free with her advice, advised that I should keep the description short, pithy, and out of the weeds, was her term, out of the weeds. There are no weeds that ever grew on any of my ships, but I do have a few at captain's quarters, and I know what she meant and what she means. At the same time, and at about the same time that I had her signal, I have had several from others of Captain Joe's people who want considerable detail. So it is my job and my task, as it always is, to achieve that balance. That balance that will keep us out of the weeds and at the same time provide the level of detail that some of you would like to hear. And I think the reason that you would like to hear it, one of the reasons I know that you would like to hear it, is that as my situation spreads itself out to Captain Joe's people all over the world, many of you have come back with stories of your own jousts with cancer. My weeds friend is one of them. And the descriptions of your situations and the treatments that you endured and the recoveries that you were able to manage through your own strength and the skills of your medical practitioners are sources of great inspiration and strength to me in turn. So I will acquire that balance, and I will at the same time fulfill requests for other information about other things. And then we're going to talk about some things that have happened over the week that I want to exhibit some opinion on. You all know that I have an opinion on just about everything. But some of them I keep unto myself. So here's my situation. And for those of you who are hearing this for the first time, I will preface it by saying that I am fully of good cheer. I am, as always, up in the captain's chair. I remain able to get up into the captain's chair unaided and unassisted. And I am fully in command of all that I am still able to command, of which I am still given the privilege to command. And now I'm going to take one of those sips of warm coffee from the Black Rifle Coffee Company. Ah, that's so good. Not as good as engine room coffee that comes up to the bridge or from Obadoza in the cabin, but it's still pretty good. I have a tumor at the base of my throat. It is affecting my speech. It's affecting my hearing. It's affecting my ability to talk. It is at varying levels of discomfort. And I have chosen to manage that with good old extra strength Tylenol. Getting into the weeds just a little bit, I tried the opioids, and all that did was to make me really dizzy, but I didn't see that it made much difference in the way, in the management of the discomfort. I discontinued that, and unless things get really worse before we can get in there and get this taken care of, I'm not going to do it anymore. Tylenol it is. Maybe Aleve or Advil. I've had a scan, a CT scan, which disclosed the size of it and the location, and that there is some lymph node spreading. I am advised so far that all is both treatable, and that the probability of some more good years is very high. If those predictions turn out not to be true, I will, of course, tell you, so that those of you who are looking forward to trawling through my carport for many of the good things that I still have there, you will know that it will be time for you to get your ticket. In the meantime, I am carrying out all of my duties, obligations, and privileges. One of those privileges is the privilege of being your captain, up in the captain's chair, and coming to you each week on The Voice of Vashon. Unless there is some treatment that precludes it, I intend to broadcast the car parade on the Sunday of Strawberry Festival. I am taking a break from doing my tours at Point Robinson because those are 4 hours of almost nonstop talking. I have a lovely lady who is doing those for me for the next few weeks, but I am carrying on. I'm more than carrying on. The encouragement, the stories, the love, affection, and respect that come back to me from all of you all over the world are the phenomena that are of enormous help to me. And I hope that my telling of this story in an ongoing way will be of some help to some of you. Because after all, that's why we do what we do here on The Voice of Vashon from the captain's chair. And that is what I have to say about all of that for now. Yesterday, I went to the change of command for Polar Star. Polar Star is now over 50 years old. And for most of her life, she has been in the hard, deep ice going to Antarctica. She has just returned from Antarctica in the early spring after having successfully broken the track into McMurdo. And this summer, it was time for her captain to be relieved in his normal rotation. He also elected to retire rather than to take another assignment. I don't know the whole story about all of that, but I do know that he had elected to retire. And when I appeared, he came over to me and he said, "Captain Joe, it is so good to see you and thank you for coming." And I remembered that I had been to his change of command when he became captain in Polar Star. Captains, of course, acquire the name of their ship as their own call sign. So he was, for 2 years, Polar Star, and I had been with him in Vallejo, California, and in fact, I did an interview under Polar Star when she was up in the block, up on the blocks in the dry dock in, at the shipyard in Vallejo. It was warming to the cockles of this captain's black heart that he remembered and that he took the trouble to come over and to say hello and express his appreciation for my having been there. The ceremony was particularly well done. Everybody was in service dress white, or actually full dress white. Medals, large medals, swords, aides with full dress aiguillettes, all kinds of people in full dress white. I will say the remarks went on somewhat long, and I lust in my black heart for Coast Guard flag officers who are able to deliver remarks at such things as change of command ceremonies and retirements without constantly looking at their notes. When they go to Admiral School, Charm School, I would think that one of the things that somebody could help them out with would be some tutorials and some training and then some experience in delivering heartfelt remarks. Because this particular group of people, they were the family of the captain being relieved, the family of the captain relieving, and the icebreaker captain community, of which I am by far the senior in age and seniority of command. So that's a parenthetical insertion about flag officers who have to read from their remarks, and you can see the pages in their notes flipping over as they go from page to page. I'd be happy to be the person who manages that little segment in the Charm School. My custom was that if I need a mic at all, I take it out of its grommet or holder or whatever those things are called. And I walk around and talk to people directly. Anyway, the ceremony was packed with tradition. It was packed with all kinds of good words for the Polar Star crew, which I fully endorse. They have done a wonderful job with a ship that's over 50 years old, and for most of those 50 years, she has been in the hard ice. I know many, many of her captains. Many of them, several of them anyway, are buried out in Tahoma National Cemetery. One of my classmates, Joe Smith, is one of them. And so then there was the retirement ceremony. And after the retirement ceremony, I went up to the captain who had just been relieved and who then had just been retired, and I passed him a note in which I said, I very much want to have you come on my broadcast after you've settled down. And we shook hands. And in his hand was a challenge coin celebrating the 50th birthday of Polar Star. Now, the challenge coin tradition is a relatively new one in the military. It doesn't go back probably more than maybe 30 years. But it's also one that I heartily endorse and enjoy. First of all, you don't get a challenge coin unless the person who gives it to you thinks that you are especially worthy of having it. And secondly, the tradition is that you think you're just going to shake hands, but as you shake hands, passed from him to you in your palm of your hand is one of these challenge coins. And the one for Polar Star's 50th birthday has an outline of the continent of Antarctica, and it has Polar Star, and it has her seal, and it's absolutely lovely. The other thing that happened was that I was sitting down And right next to me sat down another icebreaker captain. But this icebreaker captain is special to me because when he was a lieutenant junior grade, he worked for me when I was the chief of operations here in Seattle. And then, later on, he was the captain in Storrs, the original and real Storrs. And the captain who had just been relieved had been one of his junior officers. And so Captain Miller also received one of these challenge coins. And there were the three of us, all of us connected together, connected by an unbroken thread of command, and three generations of captains, three generations of icebreaker captains, three generations of people who had been together as junior officers reporting to a senior. It was just a glorious, glorious day. It was marred only by one thing. Right across from where the ceremony was being held was ex-IVIC. You all know that I cannot even call her by her present name, Storrs, because to me there is only one Storrs. So there she was sitting right across from me, and I looked at her and I could see that up on the flybridge, she has two fire monitors. Now, I have never had an icebreaker in my life, and that's all of them in one way or another, that had fire monitors. IVIC, ex-IVIC is the only one. She's a fireboat. She's not an icebreaker. And if she is so important to us in the Arctic, why isn't she up there right this very minute doing her father's business? Didn't seem to be much activity over on that ship. But setting that aside, it was otherwise a glorious day. And I wish the captain who just retired a happy retirement, and I look forward to his call so that he will indeed come on the broadcast with me. One of the requests that I've had from a Vietnam shipmate was to tell everybody what's going on with my animal kingdom, the Peaceable Kingdom. So I was awakened this morning during the midwatch at 1:30. By Sailor and by Blossom. And I had flaked out on the couch rather than going upstairs. And so Blossom was right at my head level. Now, she doesn't meow. She has a really strange kind of call. And when she wants some attention or she thinks that she needs some fresh food in her bowl, she exhibits this particular sound. I cannot reproduce it. At the same time, Sailor was up at my head, and he was batting my head with his paw. So I knew that they wanted some attention. So the answer to the question, will Blossom let me pet her? Yes, she will. She will not yet let me pick her up. I think if I were to try to pick her up, that she would become a 9-pound claw. But she certainly will let me pet her. And Sailor continues to be the steady as she goes cat that he has always been, and especially since Mary died. I am delighted to have them. And when Blossom crosses her bar, I will go someplace and find another cat that nobody else wants, because that's how I ended up with Blossom. There's a magazine today. The magazine today is the Professional Mariner, And I bring it up today because it has a big article in it about the Jones Act. Without getting into the weeds of the Jones Act, it requires that in general, all U.S. cargo going from one U.S. port to another shall be carried in U.S. flagships which are manned by U.S. citizens. There are a lot of exceptions and exemptions, and one of those exceptions is a waiver which is possible and which the current administration has invoked. The interesting thing about this particular waiver that I'm discussing today is that it involves a Chinese flagship. Yes, that's it, a Chinese flagship. Same flag that is the Chinese Coast Guard messing around down on Scarborough Shoal. And this Chinese flagship is carrying asphalt from one U.S. port to another under a waiver of the Jones Act. All of my friends in the Council for American Master Mariners are really concerned about this because one of the objectives of the Jones Act was and is to provide seagoing billets for American master mariners or for American mariners and especially masters. So I can see and will be tracking for on behalf of all of us what is going on with this Jones Act, the Jones Act waivers, and in particular the Chinese sailing between U.S. ports with U.S. cargoes under the Chinese flag. And yes, dear ones all, it is indeed happening. Speaking of Scarborough Shoal, it occurred to me with those fire monitors up on her flybridge that ex-Ivic would be a good ship to go down into the Scarborough Shoal area and patrol there. She's big enough that she could host, and her captain is senior enough that she could host this meeting that I think they should be holding to settle all of this and keep from hitting each other. And if she ever needed to fire anything, she could fire up those water cannons. That's a technique that the Japanese whalers use when they go after Greenpeace and the other organizations that go down into the Antarctic to protect the whales. The book is a quick one. It's called Ghost Ship. It is the mysterious true story of the Mary Celeste. And it came from a place where it had fallen behind a bookshelf in Captain's Quarters. And I was cleaning things out in there, and I pulled this book out, and I started to read it. And, of course, Mary Celeste was found in the 1870s sailing under her own sail, but with no crew aboard. I'm not going to tell you how Brian Hicks, who is the author, I'm not going to tell you how he ends it. I'm just going to say that I recommend it. It is called Ghost Ship. The author is Brian Hicks, and the publisher is Ballantine Books. And now the Omega Watch is telling your captain that it is time once again for us to say, not that we say goodbye or anything like that. We say until we meet again. And as always, I remain up in the captain's chair. I remain of good cheer. I remain fully in command. And I remain, as always, on station and watching properly.